afternoon. Today is Friday, September the 6th, 244th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon out of the city of Eureka. Well, is there anybody left?
Why, yes, there is.
She's holding down the fort,
even though it's Friday, there's still staff there.
So Suzanne's there, by golly, yeah. Miles Slattery and Mike Knight are with us this afternoon from the city because, Mr. Panos decided a three-day weekend last weekend was such a great deal, he was going to roll it over and do it again?
That's correct. He's actually out of town. He'll be on the road tomorrow, but coming back.
Nah, no sympathy there. We'll find out what's going on in the city when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Miles Slattery and Mike Knight from the city of Eureka. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from George Eliot. Quote, "Blessed is the man who, having nothing to say, abstains from giving us worldly advice of the facts." Oh, so Mike, what's new?
Well, you know, there's a lot going on at the city. I think our staff's focused right now on implementing the council visioning priorities. They worked for several months on developing a vision, both short range and long range through 2028. And certainly they're looking at us developing a vibrant economic development plan. And
where have you been hiding that one?
We're working on it, so we're not actually hiding it. But, you know, we're interested in developing a good economic development plan. That's a high priority. There's a focus on improving and being very business friendly and streamlining our processes where possible.
Well, you know a little bit about that, wouldn't you?
You betcha.
Or at least where to work on it.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's going to be good for everybody. And certainly our council wants us to work on a nice, clean city with a vibrant waterfront and downtown, and with a focus on cleaning our streets, a clean street program, and maybe working with the businesses on some of our vacant storefronts. And, of course, reaching out to our businesses and helping them grow and thrive.
How much of that stuff, I mean, you've been around the block a couple of times, so we can kind of giggle about what used to be. How much of that is trying to go back and capture what we had and somehow manage to screw up, or reinstituting programs that were in place, but either for budgetary or city council, political pressure, whatever it might have been, that were walked away from?
You know, that's a good question. I think council wants us to focus on the future, even if it is revitalizing new programs and getting them back in place. But certainly they want us to reach out to our local businesses and support them and make sure they're aware of our programs, such as our revolving loan fund for small businesses that expand and create jobs,
like the enterprise zone and some of that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
So where in economic development and strengthening the health of the community does having Miles running Parks and Rec fit in?
Well, I think that's, and I'm going to let Miles jump in here. I think he fits in there very nicely because a part of the visioning is to become a more attractive place for people to come. And I work with Miles a little bit on it, but he's been the lead on our trail development. And You know, we're working to construct 6.4 miles of trail along the waterfront, and Miles has successfully completed about 1.5 miles of that, and we've got...
Can we say safe trails along the waterfront?
Safe trails with the proper with the proper uses.
Imagine Boy, that. Really shooting the moon here, aren't you?
Miles has taken the lead on that, and I think this community is going to see those trails developed, and I think that will be big to get folks with bikes down on the waterfront and visiting our businesses. And Seamus T-Bones might be a good example of that.
Well, I'm really just going to shoot the PC balloon out of the water. Non-green bikes, right?
Non-green.
They won't
bikes.
Be spray painted green, so they won't be some of those. But yeah. No, you're smiling. You know, you're just not going to say anything, are you? Yes, smart guy. Well, there certainly are a bunch of challenges, and to try to make some of that stuff happen, we'll get into some of the details and find out what Miles' plan is when we come back.
You got 2 minutes.
We got 2 minutes. Yeah. How did I screw that one up? Oh, I see. It says 17, not 19, right in front of me. Yeah, it's right there. Okay, so Miles, let's tease a little bit. You know, the concept of trails throughout Eureka, that was kind of the thought behind Cooper's Gulch years ago. Kind of the thought that, boy, they were going to bend Target over and they were going to have trails in that part of the bay and it was going to be great and wonderful and... Okay, I mean, it's being used, but I don't see too many families and bicyclists using that on a regular basis. The goal sounds laudable, but is it something that the community wants?
We've gotten a lot of positive feedback from the Hickshari Trail down in Elk River area. It's the Elk River Access Area. Hickshari Trail runs from
Pound down to
Truesdale in front of Seamus's. And so that is definitely getting a lot of family use, a lot of uses. If you go to any of the four parking areas or trailheads along there, they're all, you know, pretty well used, and they have vehicles there that are, you know, bringing strollers and dogs and that type of use. As far as the Target Trail and those other trails, the Cooper Gulch trail system was more used as a cutoff to get, you know, avoid highly congested streets. You know, you can go from S Street and get across over to 14th. P and 14th without having to go out onto Myrtle. So it's more of a cross. As far as the Target Trail is concerned, there's no connectivity to it. So it's difficult to have real use out there because it's such a short segment and there's no real connectivity. I think the major use it gets out there is for the boat launch, and so that people can use the boat launch in that area. But the plan is to definitely connect all those, and we have adequate funding for the planning portions of those sections of trails to get them completed. And once the connectivity's there, I think that the waterfront and the usage on the waterfront is going to be more appropriate and definitely beneficial to our businesses in that area.
KINS, News and Information Time. It really is 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you've never been to Eureka's Sequoia Park Zoo, or haven't in a long time, you're in for a treat. Eureka is one of the smallest cities in the nation to have a zoo, and quite a zoo it is. It's among the redwood trees and specializes in a variety of small animals. Many exhibits have been updated, with more on the way. A big favorite is the red panda family. If you think of pandas as black and white, big, and chewing on bamboo, think again. Red pandas are small with reddish coats and white faces. Watch them scamper on their trees. The pink flamingo flock will dazzle you as you pass their pond. There are many more zoo pleasures awaiting young and old alike. There's a cafe and gift shop, too. On Wednesdays, all visitors come in at half price. For days and hours, see their website, sequoiaparkzoo.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Time, it's 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mike Knight and Miles Slattery from the City of Eureka. Miles, you were talking a little bit about the trails, and I know there's a trail master plan because we've heard about it for so long. Is it feasible to tie everything together? And then if it is, how easy is this thing going to be to maintain?
So we're definitely going through the process and learning about maintenance, but I'll talk about the feasibility of it. We've had a lot of funding programmed through HCOG and through the different funding sources that they have. We've reprogrammed a lot of money that was for the Waterfront Drive extension towards the trail that would go from Truesdale up to Del Norte. And so we've also gotten some funding through the Conservancy for the trail portion from Del Norte to C Street.
Are you going to slap a mic and tell them how to pronounce Del Norte, or should I?
Well, I've gone through this with all the locals, and they keep telling me it's Portuguese, and I'm Portuguese, and you pronounce it Del Norte. So I continue to pronounce it that way, and yeah, I apologize
you're
for that. But
laughed
I
out of Crescent City, too. Okay, how do you pronounce Booner? So it's your Portuguese. How do you pronounce German?
I think it's German, but I think it's Benet or something like that. But I couldn't tell.
Knock it off, boy. Shortly. On him, okay, Mike.
So anyway, the Conservancy granted some funds for the environmental work to go from C Street to Del Norte. They've also we've also reprogrammed some money from HCOG to do the section from Adorney to connect to that Target Trail, and then to go underneath the 101 and connect to Tidd Street, which would be adjacent to the new Open Door Health Clinic. So all of those phases, there's basically three phases that are left of the Waterfront Drive Trail, from Truesdale to Del Norte, from Del Norte to C Street, and from the Adorney to Tidd Street.
Is Waterfront Drive dead?
I wouldn't say it's dead. It's definitely been put on the shelf by council. The Coastal Commission had made their opinion prior to any sort of application being put in, and so there was discussions for it for a long time, but I believe it was last year or maybe the year before that council decided that they will not be pursuing it further, and so we've reprogrammed that money for other efforts.
Mike, let me say it differently. When the Coastal Commission composition changes, and they might be more amenable to something like that, by taking those dollars and utilizing them elsewhere, does that put the city in a spot where it doesn't really matter now what goes on at the state because the bucks aren't there to extend the drive?
No, because in reality it was only partially funded anyway, and we were putting our state transportation improvement program funds into that project along with some non-freeway funds. You know, the city, of course, has stood behind that project for a long, long time, and we do believe it's a good, viable project, but there are environmental concerns, and if that ever could be worked out, then we could look again at participating in the state transportation improvement program funding process when the money rolls down to the region through HCOG. So if we felt we could be successful in the permitting effort, we would again focus on that, because we do think it is a good project and we do believe it will help Broadway to some extent.
Well, and that's kind of the fear that a lot of us have got as Broadway continues to see increased traffic, as we continue to get the wandering wounded getting smacked because there really is no way for them to go across the street safely, it seems. As we have the challenges with Cutton and some of the other areas that are kind of, I don't know if the area is growing up, but there's certainly more vehicle traffic going on. There is no option for Broadway. I mean, you're not going to go double-decker on it, because then you're going to lose one in the swamp. So,
correct.
You know, that's a neutral. there's just not too many choices, and I guess I hate to see that flexibility not continue to be pursued, because there aren't that many choices. You know, we tried the dig out. That didn't work.
Right.
Purple never flew. See, I do go back a little bit. And then, you know, taking Waterfront Drive through, there's, unless you're a big fan of condemnation, and I don't think anybody is, there's not too many options.
You know, our hands are pretty much tied as well as Caltrans. We were certainly disappointed to temporarily walk away from Waterfront Drive extension. I will say that Caltrans has been looking and doing a number of studies and modeling of the Broadway corridor, and they have some plans to improve operations of vehicles through the Broadway corridor, and our council has heard a presentation from them and made it very clear that they also want them to include nice, safe pedestrian crossings when they bring forward this project. So, I mean, they're as stuck as we are, but they are looking for solutions.
And somehow the bypass concept just seems so logical. I mean, you're talking about safe ways to get across a interstate highway. Yeah, boy, that's one that's really a popular one throughout the country.
Well, I would think the pedestrian bridges would be looked at some point.
The up and over, like they have it in Berkeley, mm-hmm. over 580 there,
yeah.
something.
And we've been talking about gateways. I think something similar to that on either end of the town would act as a gateway, and I think that would be an opportunity to look into something like that. I mean, you look at the gateway stuff, the funding's there, so
would that include sidewalks?
On the south end of town, you'd have to connect them, yeah.
Yeah, oh boy. We could enter this century slowly.
but certainly our council made their voice loud and clear that we have to look at the pedestrian
component. Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, 3:30. We'll be back with more from Mike Knight and Miles Stoddard.
This is the final weekend to get a free iComfort box spring or $1,000 off any iSeries adjustable foundation at Vern's Furniture. Don't miss this super savings opportunity when you buy any iComfort or iSeries mattress at Vern's. Get a Serta Perfect Sleeper Queen mattress set for just $399 too. But the savings absolutely end after Sunday. Get to Vern's Furniture for the free iComfort box spring offer or the $1,000 discount on an adjustable foundation. Vern's Furniture.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mike Knight and Miles Slattery from the city of Eureka. Guys, there's Rex was on Wednesday. We were talking a little bit about the, the McKay track. I'm going to stay with the traditional at this point. The McKay track and the potential of having a community forest. There seems to be, I think positions have been well ensconced right now of yes, no, why, how come, all that kind of stuff. But as we were talking, and we kind of touched on it a little bit before we went to the break, about the traffic conditions in Eureka and how we haven't been paying attention to it for a long time and we got issues, no surprise. Is part of that, could it be a bypass or a ducting or a shunting or whatever you want to call it, so we don't have cut and main traffic going past the zoo? Past the elementary schools, past the junior highs, where you've got kids that may or may not understand what the rules of the road are, that may not quite understand concepts of right of way and why that car isn't coming to a complete stop as they're rolling through the intersection and things of that nature and bike laws. And it seems to me, if you were laying out of town, you would not want major thoroughfares going right past your elementary schools. We got it. We got it at the high school. Got it. I guess Lincoln's kind of closed now, sort of. Grant is that way. Most of the elementary schools are on main drags. Is this an opportunity to avoid potential problems and shunt some of that traffic off as part of this overall discussion of whether it's a community forest or bike rides or trails or whatever it's going to end up being?
So the details on that are being ironed out right now. The city staff has been working with county staff on the, kind of the final conditions of how the property would be acquired. And the potential for a road is something that's definitely being considered. And they're also making sure that while, not definitive, they don't want to take it off the table. So there's a lot of fingers in the overall deal, and there's a lot of planning issues and legal issues and stuff like that that go along with it, because the property will be deeded for a specific purpose. And so there's going to be they're working on provisions to make that possibility still attainable. It's not guaranteed, but the city is looking into some sort of hopefully partnership in that McKay tract and community forest, and so that some of the concerns with the county is because of the cost for maintaining that, they don't want to go in the red in their parks department and stuff. So we're looking to help them out.
Mike, a real base question: Eureka ends at halfway on Harrison. This thing's 4 or 5 blocks away from it. Why is the city involved at all in the discussion?
Well, our council has expressed an interest in being a part of the McKay track for at least a couple of years that I'm aware of now. And we do understand that it lies in the unincorporated unincorporated area of the county. Part of the visioning process was talking a little bit about annexation. We think it's enough of a benefit for this community, whether it's within the city limits of Eureka or not, to acquire that property and work with the county to help make that a reality. I don't know if you've ever been through that area.
A couple times a long time ago.
How nice that area is, and it would be a fine addition of, preserved open space. And it seems like, to get back to your connectivity comment, and I'm not positive about this, but it seems like the county's circulation element does envision some kind of connector from Cutton to Harris Street. And I know when there are some thoughts of development out there, that was going to be looked at closer. So, certainly there's a lot of work to do and a lot of details to be worked out, but the potential of a connector is not off the table that I'm aware of.
Is Eureka planning well? We talked a little bit about traffic. That's one of the things I'd like to beat up on for some time. Big surprise. But looking at Booner and S.
Mm. What about Del Norte and S?
There's a hill there. That's all that matters. and Harrison, with the developments that have gone on those areas. And it seems like the solution is, let's paint the street differently and call it done.
Sounds like Caltrans.
It's a public works decision, I guess. Huh? But putting in something like this park or field or whatever we were going to use it for, if it's successful, that means there's going to be more traffic because more people are going to want to participate with it. Well, at Harrison, with the Safeway development, with Walgreens, with whoever's going to go into the old Safeway, it can't handle the traffic now. So are you looking at kind of coordinating things a little bit more? If Hubbard is the one that takes a lot of the load of the detour, I guess would be the term to use.
Mm-hmm.
That one's not going to fly either. There's a couple of funny situations with just the way that has grown up over the years. It seems like all of these things have to be done in concert rather than piecemeal, and you get a sense looking at Eureka with some of the traffic decisions that have been made over the last multiple decades, 50 mm-hmm. years. We don't do a good job of connecting A and B. We got A down, we got B down, but we don't do the connecting part real well.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that's being looked at in conjunction with some of these other projects?
You know, I would like to think so, and I have I have tremendous respect for our traffic engineering department, and I know our planning department will be working the next couple of years on our general plan update. And so
you're going to get a general plan update done in 2 years?
That's our marching orders.
Consult out to other entities in the area. What do you think?
2 or 3 years, but we are going to have a consultant. And we want to do it right via do it fast. But certainly the circulation will be a major part of that general plan update. And we will not only have our staff working on that, but of course we will bring in the county and consultants and traffic engineers. And so hopefully we can, if we've made mistakes in the past, we can learn from them. And hopefully we can look at any options to improve. And, I realize that the McKay track we're talking about a traffic analysis for that.
They're actually in the middle of a traffic analysis now, looking at all of Walnut and that whole location down there.
So I think it's a good opportunity for the community to get involved, and we're hoping that we get a lot of involvement so people like you that have been around for a while and understand what some of the issues have been, will participate and give us input. So I think I'm hoping that'll be a good process, and I'm sure it will be.
Well, it'll be interesting, if not good. KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:43. We'll be back with more from Miles Slattery and Mike Knight.
It's funny the things we get excited about.
Yes.
It is fun to...
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions, 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:47. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Miles Slattery and Mike Knight from the city of Eureka. Guys, what's the next best thing that's going to be coming around the corner in the next couple months or so that we should be anxiously awaiting?
Well, on the ground stuff that'll be visible to see. I think that we're going to be doing a lot of work in our parks and trying to we're doing a community series of park cleanups, and we're going to start working on some capital improvements in some of our parks facilities right now.
Duck pond, clubhouses, things like that?
Duck pond, some of the bathroom issues and try and upgrade some of our bathrooms, provide more bathrooms. As a matter of fact, out at Hammond Park, we're looking at – the reason why Hammond Park isn't open is because of ADA, American with Disability Act issues, and so the upgrade of that is pretty expensive. And so what we're going to do is we're going to provide a portable ADA bathroom out there for the tennis players and the people at the park, as well as the people that run the little vegetable garden that's out there as well. And we're also doing a lot of upgrades at our Dorney Center right now. It's all getting recarpeted. We're going to do some work in the locker rooms and the bathrooms, and we're really going to try and start utilizing that facility and start competing with some of the other gyms around town and make it more useful.
What about the parks? Grass, what I'm saying, I'm thinking of parks.
So we had some
Ross, Carson, I mean, the regular ones there. Are there plans for those, or are you just going to keep them mowed down and thank you very much?
What we're trying to do is we're looking at to evaluate some of the synthetic turf surfaces. So this upcoming, probably within the next couple of months, we'll be hiring somebody to go out and give us some estimates for using the turf grass, similar to the Redwood Bowl up at HSU. So low maintenance, get more use out of them. If we were able to do something like, let's say, Carson Park, it would be optimal to have big soccer tournaments up here so that they can be used, even through the
fields.
Wet season.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so we're looking at upgrading them. We're also looking at, funding pending is looking at, automated sprinklers, because right now we're all on couplers and it's difficult to maintain those like that. We did have some issues with our ball fields this year with grubs, and we've fixed that and we've got those taken care of. So,
geez, Mike, I'm glad you brought Miles along. It would have been about a 2-minute show without him.
and I just wanted to comment that this would not be something you would see in the immediate future, but the school district and the city are having conversations about partnering in multiple use facilities.
So there'll be some stuff we can talk about next time you throw Panos out of town. Thanks for coming by, guys.
Okay,
we've been talking shop this afternoon with Miles Slattery and Mike Knight. He's still not sure about me. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. I'll see you tomorrow.